That was Delta Goodrum there with Gurumul performing Bayini, which was performed on The Voice in a few seasons back. And we've played that just to sort of set a bit of a scene, because Adelaide chef Jock Zonfrillo has just been awarded the equivalent of the Chef's Oscar. He's won the Basque Culinary World Prize, regarded as an award for chefs improving society through gastronomy in areas ranging from innovation to education, health, research, sustainability, social entrepreneurship and economic development. Now, Jock's been working extensively with Australian Indigenous communities, and he's championed the use of native ingredients in his Orana restaurant in Adelaide. He speaks to palate member Diane Matson in Adelaide, and we must apologise in advance for the quality of the phone line here.
Jock has been the key mover and shaker in a native food trend and has introduced us to Australia's own native cuisine. And he has just won a rather significant global recognition for his work with Indigenous communities and their related foods. The Basque Culinary World Prize, which aims to celebrate chefs who innovate and improve our cuisine, has been bestowed on Jock in the last week. So I'm here to talk to him about how that all came about. How are you, Jock? I understand you're just home from receiving this award?
Yeah, just I wasn't there for the actual sort of reveal of who won, but I was over in Europe at the time, so I landed back into Australia and to news that we had won. So, yeah, it's fantastic news.
Where was the award actually presented?
The award ceremony isn't until October, so the announcement, though, was in Modena in Italy.
And will you be going back for the ceremony?
I dare say I'll have to, yeah.
Well, because I understand you've been partying a little bit, and that might have something to do with your croaky voice today.
No, I've got a flu. In my own defence, I've got a flu, but no, yesterday my wife put on a surprise party for me after winning the awards, so it was really nice to catch up with a lot of friends and celebrate together. It was pretty good.
Yeah, well deserved, I'm sure. Jock, Orana has been going for about 5 years, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, 5 years now.
And so, can you just tell me a little bit about the ethos behind it?
We started Orana basically to support the idea of the Orana Foundation, really. I don't really want to open a restaurant and lose a ton of money and try and sort of do what we're doing, really. But in order to get backing and support and understanding for the foundation, it was critical that there was some kind of shop window, if you like, where people could sort of actually see, taste and eat what we were talking about and therefore understand it. So it really has gone a long way to helping us launch the Orana Foundation in the way we have. And I think without, you know, having done the restaurant the way we did it and making it sort of, you know, globally, you know, something that's very well talked about internationally, we just wouldn't have been able to start the foundation properly, really.
So the foundation, which is connected to the restaurant and the native food ethos, can you tell me a little bit more about that and the work that you do with Indigenous communities to bring their food to our table?
It all boils down to acknowledgement, I think, really, and I think that acknowledgement hasn't really sort of happened since settlement, really. So we look to engage in projects with this purpose in communities, and the projects are community-based for community benefit. And then, you know, we can do it in a small way, you know, even pre-Orana, various restaurants I've worked at, where we engage with the community, set up a fair trade agreement, and then pay for ingredients, help them get Section 18 so they can commercially harvest. And then we purchase those ingredients and they come through to the restaurant, and then we work out how to use them in the best possible way. Like, so, you know, rather than get just in that sort of bush tucker and they get dried out and sold, you know, we'll use the place to season it fresh, and we put it through our process and working out how best to use that ingredient and how best it can sort of be translated into modern gastronomy again, and then use it in the restaurant. So basically the foundation aims to benefit communities by creating projects, but in the community, not in cities or anything like that.
Okay, and so there has been a huge trickle-down effect from Arana to other restaurants around Australia now using quite a lot of native ingredients. What would you say have been the top five ingredients that are new to us and that have taken off and that have become quite popular on menus today because of the Arana push?
I think saltbush is fairly common now in most restaurants these days. Yep. Karkala, sea spray. I've seen a lot of green ants now that are fairly prevalent now.
Yeah.
Going back to, I think we were using green ants in a sorbet. I think you probably had that in one of the early meals that you might have
had. Very early. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I, at the time there was only green ants and a very small lick of sugar and water that was in that sorbet. We used to get people to guess what it was, and of course nobody knew.
But the green ants have a lovely little citrus sort of kick, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. Mm. So it ends up being a bit like most people sort of would guess, lime or lemongrass or cafe lime or something like that as a sorbet, but actually obviously the flavours ants. So you can see even Chris Lloyd now, artisan cheesemaker from South Australia, Woodside. The name of her brand is, and she's even exporting green ants and cheese over to the US now. So, stuff like that is really important because it really does create fair trade. And the ants that we use at the restaurant come from a number of different communities. We can't get Section 18 to harvest it. We have to have licenses to transport live into it. So there's a lot of work goes into starting these projects, but it's probably one of the factors. So,
right.
there's a good trickle on effect, I think, nationally.
Really quite a wide variety of flavours, isn't there? Because like the saltbush is quite salty, and then the karkala is more like a succulent, isn't it? So it's really quite a moist and juicy.
Piquant
sort of.
I think the beach succulents really are something that chefs find easy to use because they're sort of salty and crunchy and, it's easy for them to use in a dish. And I think the important part of the whole process was, showing both in Arana and Beach with Blackwood that, you can use these ingredients easily in different ways, in different types of cuisine as well. So it doesn't have to be, you're conquering the world with an Australian native cuisine or something. It can be in Chinese food, it could be in Thai, it could be anything,
We make
a cacio pepe in Bistro Blackwood and we use a native pepper, a classic Italian Roman dish, but we use a native ingredient and it's delicious,
Okay, and the price was 100,000 euros, which equates to around about 155,000 Australian dollars. Have you got any idea what that is going to be used for in the foundation now?
We've got a board meeting tomorrow. It's the first board meeting since I've been back from Europe, so that's on our agenda. Certainly, we know that whatever project it goes into, there's a couple of requirements for me. Obviously, the prize is for the chef, and I'm donating 100% of the prize to the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would like is that, first and foremost, as with all projects, 100% benefit needs to go back to the Indigenous community.
Mm-hmm.
So no cut-throughs along the way from anyone. And secondly, I'd really love it to be tied into a project that has some kind of involvement with the Basque Centre itself, so the prize has some kind of a legacy. And it may well be where we have Basque students coming over to Australia and we have a bit of a swap and vice versa. We might send some Indigenous kids that work in Arana over to the Basque Centre, for example.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you have Indigenous students in your kitchen?
Yeah, we have a number of different Indigenous training schools that send kids from time to time. We have a full-time Indigenous forager, Peter Watts, who forages for us at the restaurant as well. So whenever we've got an open door policy for any Indigenous kids that are still learning to cook, but also for people that are looking for a career in food, it's an open door policy backwards for Indigenous people. So it's great.
Okay.
And we have a steady flow, so it's good.
That's excellent. So who were you up against for this prize?
It's pretty pretty stiff competition. There was another 9 finalists. There's 140, I think, applications, and someone has to nominate you. It's not a self-nominated award, so
okay.
Somebody has to nominate you first of all. I think it was 3 people ended up nominating us.
That's great.
And then they get 140 applications, and then in RAD there's a technical jury who have anthropologists and some pretty big names on there, and they whittle that down to 10. And then there's a second jury joins the technical jury with chefs like Basil Batura, Dominic Crane, Mauro Colagreco, like superstars pretty much of the industry. Juan Roca, it's just amazing, really. And they they get together for a week and they go through every single application, and there's a lot of phone calls made to people that you've worked with over the years, and there's a lot of communities sort of ringing me saying, "Now we have some weird phone call from a Spanish guy like that." So it's, they do the homework, which is which is great, and I think
that's good to hear, because they don't have any special agenda. They're just truly looking at a wholesome product, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think the award's sort of made all the more special by the jury itself, the quality of the other finalists, and the fact that they do do the homework, and it's not just a flimsy award that they give out once a year. It's pretty significant.
Well, that's fantastic. What's next? Arana was the first of this type of thing in Australia. It must be difficult to keep on reinventing it to stay up to date, or are you finding that there's still lots of new ideas coming from the communities?
Look, there's over 10,000 native ingredients that are edible here in Australia, so there's no shortage of new ingredients for us to use, and I suppose we never really look at it as reinventing ourselves. We're just, we come across new ingredients when we work with new people,
What do you think will be the next big ingredient? We've had the cacala, the salt push,
I don't know.
And myrtle. Is there something that's really piquing your interest at the moment?
I mean, we use 40 to 50 ingredients at any one time in the menu. So, like I said, there's no shortage of new ingredients and stuff. It's different. I couldn't really pinpoint one. They're all amazing.
It was our Adelaide reporter, Diane Matson, speaking with Basque Culinary World Prize winning Australian chef, Jock Zonfrio. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.